Psalm 98, 4 through 8 from the Amplified Bible. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth and sing for joy. Yes, sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the voice of melody. With trumpets and sound of the horn, make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Together, let the hills sing for joy. And also Psalm 100 from the Message, a Thanksgiving Psalm. On your feet now, applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter. Sing yourselves into His presence. Know this, God is God, and God, God. He made us. We didn't make Him. We're His people, His well-tended sheep. Enter with a password, thank you. Make yourselves at home, talking praise. Thank Him, worship Him. For God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal, always, and ever. And now, please bow your head. Father God, I just ask You now that Your Spirit would flow, that You would be glorified in all it's said, and that the ears, minds, and hearts would be open in here this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you are familiar with Chris Tomlin and all the phenomenal worship songs that he writes? He, in my opinion, is one of the best, if not the best, modern Christian songwriter alive right now. Third Day is right there also. I love contemporary Christian music you hear on stations like The Light 106.9, 91.3 His Radio, or our own 95.7 Warrior Radio. The reason I love these songs is because I love music and I relate so much to what the writers of the songs feel towards God and Jesus our Savior, and the struggles with life and inspiration that we need, and so on. I get a real jolt out of hearing something about Jesus in a tasty melody that I can sink my heart into so much that sometimes I can't help but just let out a big shout. I hope that happens to someone else and not just me. But then sometimes there are those other songs that tell us about Jesus' love, and you can't help but swell up into tears because of what He did for each one of us. It's personal. When the Holy Spirit moves on you, it is confirmation of a relationship with God through Jesus, our friend and our Savior. This is the reason for our joyful scripture this morning, but also for the sermon title. Celebrate. We are not alone. Let me tell you where I got this sermon from. A Chris Tomlin song. Where else? Listen to a few words from this song. Come on down to the riverside. Wash it all away. Leave behind your troubled mind for an uncloudy day. Pardon. Nothing's going to separate us from the Father's love. I can't help but celebrate because we're not alone. If God is on our side, who can be against us? If God is on our side, we won't be afraid. Though the mountains may fall and the sky will crumble, there ain't nothing going to stand in our way. This song speaks to me so because it thrills me to feel and know that we are not here just for each other, but to know that we have an Almighty God that loves us unconditionally, regardless of anything we have ever done or said. God pursues us wherever we are with His unlimited grace and says, "Come to me, all that are weary and heavy laden." The love of Jesus and His peace and the Spirit of God's ministers unto us as we know Him and embrace Him and have a relationship with Him that tells us, "I am here. I'm right here." Celebrate because you are not alone. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong, take courage. Don't be intimidated. Don't give them a second thought because God, your God, is striding ahead of you. He's right there with you. He won't let you down. He won't leave you. On the other hand, let us look just for a moment what it might look like if God were not there for you to call on. Have you ever thought of what it might feel like or be like if God weren't there for you? I have a comparison of the 23rd Psalm. The first way is the usual comforting words, God's presence to a believer having faith. It's taken from the Message. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid when you walk by my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. Now listen to the reverse of Psalm 23. You get a very different picture of living without faith, living without God. I have no shepherd. I want and I need. I have no rest. I have no one to lead me to quiet waters. I am thirsty. I have no one to guide me in right ways. I don't know where to turn. As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, evil surrounds me. I am terribly afraid, for no one is with me to comfort me. I am overwhelmed by my enemies. My cup is empty. All the days of my life are filled with disappointment and deceit. I have no home for eternity. Will I dwell in an evil house forever? How many of us can relate to the reverse psalm? If you have ever run away from God's calling into a relationship with Him, then you may have experienced life in this type of situation. God was still there for you the whole time, but we chose to live a life that kept God out of our choices and out of our thoughts and, for the most part, out of our lives. If we are living a life that turns against God's calling, we need to be very careful that we don't get caught unawares, thinking that we can make a decision to accept Jesus another day when it may be too late to be able to make that eternal choice. For it is written in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. That means that it is God's grace on this side of life, it is judgment on the other side. I don't think any of us folks want to live eternally with complete and total absence of God. But talking from my own experience, I can say that I know what it feels like to turn my back on God and live for myself with no intention of living my life to glorify Him, only to glorify myself. It is at the least an anxious, nervous, restless life that will worry you to death. Folks, if you hear Jesus calling you today, please don't delay. Make the commitment to allow Jesus to be Lord of your life. There's a third day song that I relate to very well called Please Take From Me My Life. And the lyrics go like this. How many times have I turned away? The number is the same as the sand on the shore. But every time you've taken me back, and now I pray you do it once more. Please take from me my life when I don't have the strength to give it away to you. Please take from me my life when I don't have the strength to give it away to you, Jesus. So we know that God is with us because He has promised Joshua, just as He has promised us in Joshua 1:5 and Hebrews 13:5. I will not leave you nor forsake you. This quotation is one of the most emphatic statements in the New Testament. In Greek, it contains two double negatives, similar to sayings in English. I will never, ever, ever forsake you. Jesus uses the same technique to express the certainty of eternal life for believers in John 10:28, when he says, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." We are celebrating because we are not alone. God will never leave us nor forsake us. Let's look at part of the scripture we started with in Psalms 103. Know this, God is God, and God, God. He made us. We didn't make Him. He made us. We didn't make Him. This scripture reminds me of the song written by the late Rich Mullins that Third Day sings. The song is called Creed and is modeled after the Apostles' Creed, taken from our Methodist hymnal. The chorus of the song goes like this: "And I believe what I believe in is what makes me what I am. And I did not make it, no, it is making me. And it is the very truth of God and not the invention of any man." I identify with these words because it is true. I feel it deep down inside that God created us. His word is truth, and it makes more sense than anything I've ever heard, read, or seen. Here are scriptures to support it. Jeremiah 1:5. "Before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you." God knew you as He knew Jeremiah, long before you were born or conceived. He thought about you and planned for you. Don't ever feel discouraged or inadequate, because God has always thought of each one of us as valuable and has a purpose for each one of us. Ephesians 2:10. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Have you ever thought of yourselves as the handiwork of God? A born-again believer is a masterpiece of God. When we think of the raw materials He has to work with, His achievement is all the more remarkable. Indeed, this masterpiece is nothing less than a new creation through union with Christ. Psalm 139:14. "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." As we have talked today about God creating and designing us, I'd like to share a video with you that speaks of God's amazing design. "God, you do all things well." This is yet another song by Chris Tomlin. And actually, the guy talking in the video you're about to see is Louis Giglio, which is a friend and co-writer with Chris Tomlin. Songs such as "Amazing Grace," "My Chains Are Gone," "Enough," and "Holy is the Lord." Our God does do all things well, as you will see in this video.
"You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and the God of the heavens is the one who fashioned you together. And He knows your name tonight, and He knows every single thing there is to know about you. And He's made you a promise that for those who trust in Him, He will literally hold them in His hand and carry them all the days of their life. This Psalm 33 that talks about a star-breathing God turns an interesting corner. It says, "For He spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood fast." That's power and awe. But now it gets very personal. "From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From His dwelling place He watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of them all and is intimately acquainted with everything they do." And then He goes even further. And he says, the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those who hope in his unfailing love. And here comes his promise, to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine. And that is the promise tonight, because this building and our world is filled with hurting people, with lives that are spinning out of control, with pain that we didn't ask for or could never imagine. And God is making a promise to us tonight. He's saying, I am a universe maker and I am a heart former, but I'm also big enough to be intimately acquainted with all the circumstances of every one of your lives. And I promise you, no matter what comes in this lifetime, no matter how difficult the road or how dark the night, I will hold on to you and I will literally hold you together and carry you through any and every circumstance that ever comes your way, any moment on this planet. It's the promise of God. And you say, well, man, that sounds good, but how do I know that's true in my life right now, Louis? I mean, that's really what we want to know tonight. And I'll tell you how you can know tonight that God will always hold you together, no matter what. It's by looking a little deeper into the human body. And it's a little protein molecule called laminin. And that's about what I felt the first time I heard that. Long story short, the tour was winding down last time around. We were in Tyler, Texas. The night was over. A guy walks up to me. I wish I could tell you the whole story. It was so of God. Introduces himself to me, says, how are you doing? I just want to say hello. I said, it's nice to meet you. He says, you guys winding the tour down. Where are you going to go from here? I said, well, I'm on my way back home to Atlanta, Georgia. He said, well, what's next for you? I said, I'm going to be preaching the next two Sundays for my pastor back in Atlanta. He said, oh, cool. What are you preaching on? I said, well, the series is on the glory of God and the human body. He said, that's really amazing. I'm a molecular biologist at the university down the road. Give me your talk. And I was like, oh, wow. I wasn't quite yet ready to unload the talk for a molecular biologist. So I kind of stumbled through what I had. And he's kind of being kind and gracious and like, uh-huh, that's good. And then he says, well, what's your big left hook? You got to have a left hook, a big finish, right? I said, I don't have a left hook yet. He said, oh, Louis. Oh, man, your left hook is laminin. And I'm totally blank on laminin. And he goes, Louis, it's a cell adhesion molecule. Protein molecule? Do you know about proteins? I'm like, no. He said, Louis, cells organize into certain molecular structures, and that determines what protein there are. There are between 10 and 60,000 proteins in the human body. We don't even know how many proteins are in the human body. But one of them is a cell adhesion molecule. It's organized into this certain structure, and that tells the cell what its job is in the body. And this one is a cell adhesion molecule. And I'm like, all right. He said, no, Louis, it's like the rebar of the human body. The steel they put in the concrete when they lay the foundations of things, it's that stuff. It's holding your membranes together. It's the glue of the human body, Louis. It's laminin. You got to tell them about laminin. And I'm like, I promise you, I'm going home and tell them about laminin. And I'm sure when I do, revival is going to sweep across the church and probably around the world when I tell them. He said, no. You got to see laminin. I'm like, okay, let's see it. He said, no, you need to go look it up online. You need to go Google laminin. I don't even know how to spell laminin. Takes his card out, he writes on the back, L-A-M-I-N-I-N. I'm like, okay, I cannot wait to get to my computer and get on Google, click on images, type in laminin, and I'm waiting, and these little thumbnails come up on the screen, and I'm like, wow. That's laminin, the cell adhesion molecule. Woo! I am so excited. I am beside myself. I cannot believe what I'm seeing. I love laminin. I'm so fired up. You should see laminin, I guess. That's the thing, right? Okay. Here is a scientific diagram of the laminin cell adhesion molecule that's holding your body together right now. Okay, this is what I found right here. know, come on, that's crazy. That's just crazy. Can't believe it. I emailed that guy back so fast. I'm like, wow. What in the world? He said, you want to see an actual laminin molecule? I'm like, oh no, man. The diagram was cool for me. I'm happy with that. Don't bother sending anything else. I'm like, yes. And he sends me this image, an electron microscopic image of an actual laminin protein molecule. It looks just like this. Like, how crazy is that? That the stuff that holds our bodies together, that's holding the lining of your organs together, holding your skin on, is in the perfect shape of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And immediately I'm thinking about the words of Paul in Colossians 1. You know this beautiful passage where Paul's talking about the supremacy of Christ and the sufficiency of Christ. He says, for by Him, talking about Jesus Christ, all things have been created, things in heaven and things on earth. All things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. But then the next verse goes on to say this. It's crazy. And He, Jesus, is before all things, and in Him, that is, in Jesus Christ, all things hold together. That's right. It's right there. I'm like, of course they do. Of course they do. Everything holds together in Jesus Christ. And He goes on at the end of this paragraph, and He just tells the story of grace. He says, for God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Christ, and through Christ to reconcile to Himself all things by making peace through His blood shed on a cross.
Amen. Well, after watching this, I did a little looking around after seeing the video and try to sort of substantiate the information and found a place called E-Rumors that focuses on whether a statement made by someone on the internet is true or false. Here's a statement submitted. Laminin is a type of protein that essentially holds us and animals together. Christians are making the connection of the cross-shaped laminin with Jesus Christ, who holds all things together. Truth or fiction? E-Rumors finds that the information circulating around the internet to be true. Here is the conclusive summary. The truth. The story leads into complex considerations of science and biology, but the main questions it prompts are whether laminin is as important as the E-Rumor claims, and does it have a shape like a cross? The simple answer to both questions seems to be yes. It goes on to say, laminin is defined by the Webster Medical Dictionary as a glycoprotein that is a component of connective tissue basement membrane and that promotes cell adhesion. Just remember, folks, God is God, and He can do anything He wants to. So there's no reason why He couldn't make a protein in the shape of a cross that holds our lives together, especially when the Scripture tells us in Colossians 1:15-17, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. I think God gives us these clues, like laminin, to help us along our way and fortify our faith as we go through this journey called life. He puts these nuggets of information that testifies to the fact that He is our Creator and Designer, and that He is with us, though we cannot see Him. He knows how weak we can become living here on earth and how sometimes we can get distracted along the way. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future." The Christian artist Big Daddy Weave says these words that I strongly agree with. "Now, how could I, after knowing one so great, respond to you in any way that's less than all I have to give? But by your grace, I want to love you, not with what I say, but every day in the way that my life is lived. Every time I breathe, you seem a little bit closer. I never want to leave. I want to stay in your warm embrace. Oh, basking in the glory shining from your face. And every time I get another glimpse of your heart, I realize it's true. You are so marvelous, God, and I am so in love with you." Tell me now why we don't have every reason to celebrate because we are not alone. I have a poem I'd like to close with. It's called "A Bike Ride with God." The author is unknown. "At first, I saw God as my observer, my judge, keeping track of the things I did wrong, so as to know whether I merited heaven or hell when I die. He was out there, sort of like a president. I recognized his picture when I saw it, but I really didn't know him. But later on, when I met Christ, it seemed as though life were rather like a bike ride. But it was a tandem bike, and I noticed that Christ was in the back, helping me pedal. I don't know just when it was that he suggested that we change places, but life has not been the same since. When I had control, I knew the way. It was rather boring, but predictable. It was the shortest distance between two points. But when he took the lead, he knew delightful long cuts, up mountains and through rocky places at breakneck speeds. And it was all I could do to hang on. Even though it looked like madness, he said, 'Pedal.' I worried and was anxious and asked, 'Where are you taking me?' He laughed and didn't answer, and I started to learn trust. I forgot my boring life and entered into the adventure. And when I'd say, 'I'm scared,' he'd lean back and touch my hand. He took me to people with gifts that I needed, gifts of healing, acceptance, and joy. They gave me gifts to take on my journey, my Lord's and mine. And we're off again,' he said. 'Give the gifts away, they're extra baggage, too much weight.' So I did, to the people we met, and I found that in giving I received, and still our burden was light. And I did not trust him at first to be in control of my life. I thought he would wreck it. But he knows bike secrets, knows how to make it bend to take sharp corners, knows how to jump to clear high rocks, knows how to fly to short and scary passages. I'm learning to shut up and pedal in the strangest places. And I'm beginning to enjoy the view and the cool breeze on my face with my delightful, constant companion, Jesus Christ. And when I'm sure I just can't do any more, he smiles and says, 'Pedal.'" Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for being there and creating us, Lord, and having design that no human mind could comprehend, Father. I thank you for Jesus and what he has done for us in our lives. And Lord, as we struggle to continue, let us remember Jesus and his smile. And he just tells us to keep pedaling. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.